I'd like to read a little scripture to you. You know, I think the third verse of that 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians says that according as Jesus was crucified and raised again on the third day, and he says that twice, how much importance is on that Christ Jesus raised from the dead? And we heard last night about that as well, and everything we believe is based on the fact that Jesus Christ raised from the dead.
Amen.
But I want to deal with a little bit of scripture on some of the things he told us concerning his kingdom. And over here in Matthew 13, he starts off in this 10th verse. He just finishes up with, "Who that hath an ear to hear, let him hear." And he says, they asked him, they said, and his disciples came and said unto him, "Why speakest thou unto them in parables?" And he answered and said unto them, "Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it's not given." You know, if you really talk to people about this scripture, they'd have a lot of trouble with that. Because they believe that God gives everybody everything. And that's not true. The scriptures don't teach that. You know, God didn't make everybody Abraham and have the Abraham faith. You know, God didn't make everybody Jacob. God didn't make everybody Isaac. You know, conformity is not something that God is real big on. Individuality. He has grace upon whom he'll have grace, and he hardens whom he will. And sometimes he hardens his own children. You know, we don't... People don't like that. Well, no, God don't do that. Well, yeah, he does. You know, so many things have been said, but I want to deal with the mysteries of the kingdom. You know, these were servants that were listening to the parables. But the Lord makes a difference between a servant and a friend. Over in John 15, he said, "There's no greater love than this, than a man that lay down his life for his friends." He said, "I have called you friends and not servants, for the servant knoweth not what the master, the Lord, does." So, there's a friendship that comes with this mystery of the kingdom, that God lets you know things about God. That's what it is. You know, the greatest thing about being a Primitive Baptist is not that we're so smart, it's that God talks to us. And He shows us stuff through revelation. We know it's not by anything we can do that we can ever attain anything. Only by what we've heard over and over again of the resurrection, the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. All we have is contained in those things. But there's so many things contained in there. There's a kingdom contained in there. You know, the Holy Ghost was not the comforter until after Christ became the intercessor. You know, that's important to know. You say, well, David, he knew the Lord. He talked to the Lord. He did. But he didn't have the Holy Ghost. He didn't have that comforting thing telling him time and time again what he was doing wrong and what he was doing right. You know, Jesus didn't do a lot of condemning in the world. He said, "I didn't come to condemn the world, I come to save it." But the Holy Ghost now, he'll get after you. He'll teach you the difference between right and wrong. You don't want to mess with him. But you do want to feel him. That's the difference.
Right.
So there's a mystery of the kingdom. What is it? A lot of people don't know it's all about Jesus. You know that?
Yep.
A lot of people don't even believe that Jesus was the incarnate Word of God manifested in the flesh. You know, some young men told me one time, he said, "Well, we don't believe that much different." He said, "Yeah, but you believe Jesus was God." I do.
Yeah.
I do.
Yeah.
Amen.
I do believe that. I believe Jesus laid down his life and no man took it from him. I believe God raised him from the dead, but that was just another part of the power of the triune Godhead or the Trinity or the whatever you want to call it. And then none of them words work, you know that, right? Because triune means there's a union of three, there's only one. You know, Trinity is three individuals, there's only one. But we don't know how to explain it, so we use words that aren't right. You know? But here, I don't want to be, I don't want to put this out there wrongly. I want to put it correctly. We were at a hotel last night. And there's a whole bunch of Christians there. We didn't get no badges like they had, but that's okay. But I know a little bit about what they believe. Because one time I went to this fairgrounds and they had this whole picture laid out and I spent about an hour looking at it because I was interested. Now I ain't going to pick on them. But they don't believe that Jesus is done, okay? There's something else he's got to do. There's a lot of things you got to do, but there's a few things he's got to do. You know, I got to tell you, a friend of ours, we won't mention no names, but went over to Jerusalem. Now, I ain't going to Jerusalem looking for no kingdom, okay?
Amen.
Because the kingdom is here, right now. Jesus told the woman, he said, don't say go to the city or don't say go to the mountain. What does he say? He says the kingdom of heaven is within you. It's not meat and drink, but it's joy and righteousness in the Holy Ghost and peace. The kingdom is within. But we don't always see it coming out. It's always hid, but is it always manifested? Don't you love to go to meetings where it's manifested? You know, and I'm going to say this, and since this brother said we can all be wrong, we'll go with that, okay? I don't believe the kingdom's a church. I believe we come to the church seeking the kingdom, okay? I think the church is the greatest thing on earth. But the kingdom's not from the earth. It comes down to the earth. Jesus lets it down and he lifts us up in it. What does he say there in the second chapter of Ephesians letter? He said, he has lifted us up together to sit together in heavenly places. That's Christ exalting us when we're not worthy of being exalted. But he's still exalting us because that Spirit has power. That kingdom, that Holy Ghost has the necessity of manifestation. There's going to be believers in this world, not because there's going to be faithful people that hold to the very end, but because God demands it. And he'll get it. Because God can call anybody he wants. We heard last night the Apostle Paul called terrorists. That's the furthest I ever heard that taken. But it's okay. He called a man that was a murderer. You know, I wish I could preach like old Stephen, because then I wouldn't have to worry about how long it's going to take me to get to heaven. I mean, he preached to them, he got them so riled up, they wanted to kill him. And they did. You know, Stephen didn't lay his life down, guys. Now let's be straight on that. Don't put him over there with Jesus. He didn't lay it down. They took it from him. And it was okay. Can you imagine looking up to heaven and seeing Jesus standing on the right hand of God? Standing! You know, that's the only place that's recorded in the Scriptures. But you know the old feller that was talked about last night? He looked up and he saw a light that was brighter than the noonday sun. You ever thought about that? You know there's a light out there. Now scientists would tell you that our sun's about this big and there's some suns out there that, whatever. That's okay. It may be true. But the Saul of Tarsus saw a light brighter than the noonday sun next to the noonday sun, if you know what I'm talking about. He saw it. Have you seen it? Yes, you have. That light is Jesus Christ. That is the greater light. You know, a friend of mine one time got up and said, and I never heard anybody ever say this, he said, and he made the stars also like it was nothing. He made the stars also. But are we stars? We're supposed to be. You know, I think about these parables that there's three levels to the parables. There's the first thing, what it says. Most of us can read, and we can read what it says, and we get the story, and we understand about the parable. And then there's a spiritual application of that parable. And we can see that there's so much more to it that Christ is working in it, and he's showing us something, and he's teaching us something, and he's drawing us to understand something. And then we go to level 3. And that's when we realize he's talking about us. Almost every parable is going to come back to the difference between the flesh and the spirit. It's easy to see the flesh and spirit of somebody else. It's easy to see the parables when they're talking about the Gentiles and the Jews. But do you see it when you're talking about your own battle of the flesh and the spirit in your life? You know, that's the warfare. You don't come to church to try to find your way to heaven and immortal glory. Christ did that when he said it was done. He said it was done. Christ is not an interceder to get us to heaven and immortal glory. He's an interceder to get us the Spirit while we're walking in the world and living right here today. And he ever lives to be an interceptor. Don't you love him? Don't you love him? How do you know he lives? Because he lives in your heart. You know, we talk so much, well, not some of us, but some do. Some of our friends talk so much about the new birth. You know, you can't teach the new birth. Do you know that? Only God can teach the new birth. You can teach a lot of scripture. You can teach a lot about Christ. But you cannot teach the new birth, because that would be saying that you can teach somebody to live. They just live. I don't remember when I was conceived in my mother's womb. You don't either. I don't know when I was born of God's Spirit. And I'm going to tell you what, you may have had some great experience, but that may not have been when you were born of God's Spirit. You don't know. What you do know is that God is. And when you know God is, you're golden. I mean, everything after that's interpretation. Everything after that's looking at the scriptures and seeing how can this love letter from God himself sending down the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ into our lives help us as we live and walk in this world. And it's a terrible world, but it's okay, because our God is omnipotent. Our God is all powerful. Our God inhabiteth eternity. Have you ever thought about that? That's one of my favorite scriptures anyway. It's easy. No, it's not. But it's plausible to think about eternity future. You know that? You know? Alright, we know about Adam, we know about Abraham, we know about Jacob, we know about this guy, we know about that guy, we know about us. We know that eternity is going to go on forever. But boy, I can't get my mind around it never started. I can't go back that far. I can keep going that way and never stop. But I can't go back and say that God is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, and there never was a beginning, and there never will be an end. That's the God we believe in. This is the one that inhabiteth eternity. That means eternity is inside of God, not God inside of eternity. You see the difference? Big difference. He's not dwelling in the firmament. He is the firmament. He's the power of the air. He's the power, and I'm not in that phrase, it's in the Bible, the power of the air, but he is the power of all spirit. We worship a spirit. And God chose to become a man in the form of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it behooved him to be made like unto us. See that? Hebrews 2:17. It behooved him to be made like unto us, that we would live with him throughout eternity. That's what it took. That's what it took. It took Christ. When he made Adam in his own image, he didn't make him in 5 feet tall and hands and legs and stuff like that, because God's a spirit. But he made him a spiritual being. He breathed the breath of life in his nostrils and he became a living soul. But when it took a sacrifice, he had to become like us, so that we would be made likened unto him. You know that word imputed? That imputed thing's a two-way road. God takes something out and he puts something in. My pastor used to quote this scripture all the time. Didn't make no sense to me at all. You ever had that happen? He said, "Blessed is the man that God will not impute sin." Buddy, we already got it. He don't have to impute it. but he imputed righteousness in the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, he took away the guilt of that sin. And blessed is the man that God will never again impute that sin into, who Jesus Christ has saved. Think about it. These are mysteries of God's kingdom. Over there in Matthew chapter 16, he says unto them, he says, when Peter makes the confession, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He said, blessed are they, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. You know, there's so many mysteries of the kingdom right there. The first one being is, it's God that reveals. Through the Holy Ghost. Blessed are thy Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. He said, thou art Peter, you're just a little old man. But upon this rock, what's the rock? Christ. And the revelation of Christ.
Right.
You got to have the revelation of Christ to have Christ in your life. He's still there. You got no revelation, that's your problem. You got revelation, it's only because Christ has given it to you.
Amen.
Upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I give unto thee the kingdom, the keys to the kingdom. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loose in heaven. What's he talking about? That means I'll have the Lord in his kingdom, but I'll have it on my terms. You know, I got to have this, and I got to have that, and I got to have that. You're bounding the kingdom. You're hurting the chances to really feel the trueness of Christ. Do we do that? You better believe we do it. We bind things every day. Loose them. Let them go. Let it all be about Christ, and listen to what Christ says. Listen to his word. Read his book. Don't go what other people tell you. There's some smart men out there, but there's some that are pretty smart and don't understand it. I mean, and we've been told things. Don't let the fathers creep in on you. Live your own life. Read your own book. Have your own Savior. Loose him. Let him go. I'm about done. Let's go over to Romans 8, around 21, somewhere in there. What do you think about that creature? That creature groaneth. What is that? What is that creature? That's the new man. He don't like that old man. He don't like being subject to that old man. You know, you have the power to let him go. You have the power to seek the things of God, and that new creature comes out. And that old man disappears. He groans to be delivered into the glorious liberty of the children of God. He wants to proclaim Jesus. He wants to yell and say, this is the way God done it. And boy, am I happy with the way he done it. Because you know what? I couldn't have done it right. You couldn't give me a piece of paper and a pen and draw out salvation and get it correct. God did. God did. For the foundation of the world, there was a covenant made. And I'll tell you who wasn't invited. Satan was not invited. That covenant was between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. You know, when I was a young man, these people didn't like to preach it. The Holy Ghost was God. They said, it says Holy Spirit. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. God is all things, in all things, and through all things. This is the God we worship. We don't worship a weak God that needs contribution. We worship a great God that desires worship. A worship is not a lot of noise. It's that contrite, broken spirit that he talks about back here in Isaiah 57 we heard about last night. He said, this is who dwells with God in eternity. Is the one with a broken and contrite spirit. Why do you speak to them in parables? Because it's not given to them to know. But they're still his children. He still loves them. He still died for them. They're going to raise to this greatness that we aspire to see. Nothing's going to be any different in eternity. But what about right now? This is where the kingdom matters. Right now. Worshiping God, him finding faith upon the earth, and his name being proclaimed among his people, that he is all-powerful, all righteous, all holy, and all these other things are just sin. He don't expect us to do nothing about it. Not in their lives, but in our lives. Don't go along with it.
Right.
Don't condone it. Don't encourage it. We just got to stay away from it. If we're asked about it, we say it's not right. You know, I was thinking about that little church that was vandalized. That scared me to death. I've done a lot of bad things in my life, and they're worthy of death. But I'd be like that old thief on the cross. If you not fear God, you not fear God. I want to leave you one more thought. I want you to think about them old two thieves on the cross. Because I've thought about them a lot. I see a picture of Abel in the one on the right. And I see a picture of Cain on the one on the left.
Yeah.
The one on the left, he's only worried about himself. He said, if thou be the Son of God, come down off here and take us with you. Yeah. Cain said to God, this is too much, I can't bear it. You know what God did? God placed a mark. Not a mark of evil, but a mark of protection. He said, if any man find Cain and kill him, I will avenge him seven times. That means it'll be seven times worse. God is a God of grace. God is a God of holiness. God is a God of perfection. And thanks be to God, He's a God of forgiveness. You know, when old Cain and Abel were in the field, and Cain's countenance has fallen, and he was wroth, he talked to God afterwards, and God told him, you know, it's your own fault, basically. God ever tell you that? Holy Ghost does. He'll tell you it's your own fault all the time. Those two men couldn't dwell in the same field. You know that? Just like our two natures can't dwell together in peace in us. And I see a picture of Cain, the flesh, slewing the Holy Ghost in Abel. And until Jesus Christ came and died on that cross, the Holy Ghost could not comfort the people. But He brought them back together. I used to hate that picture of the three. There's only one. He's the only one that matters. Those other two don't matter. But I think the Lord has led me to see them in a different light. And He brought Abel back as the comforter. The Holy Spirit of the living God to comfort God's children through the intercession of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was only by the power of Christ. He died for your sins on the cross, but He also died for your life. He paid a ransom that not only will you be in heaven in immortal glory on resurrection morning, but you can dwell with God in holiness while you walk on this world if you just cling to the cross of Christ.